Jules. The fourth was not with the Jays offense today. Another quiet day for the Bats. The Jays offense seemingly finding another way to achieve futility. They did make it interesting in the fourth inning, I guess, but late in this one, more stranded runners with one out. And you know what? The bullpen, I know Brendan Little really had some trouble in this one at the end there, walking in a run with the bases loaded, but the bullpen really walked the tightrope today, I thought. And despite that, it is another loss, a 5-4 defeat to the Guardians. They lose the series, and now they head out on the road with a 16-18 record to take on the Angels and Mariners out west.
Tough one, right? It's these have seemed like winnable games for the Blue Jays show, and you know, you kind of look, obviously not the sharpest outing for Bowden Francis, a little bit of trouble, but there were opportunities. There really, really were, and like you said, the bullpen did a good job. It's unfortunate that Brendan Little would put the game a little bit further out of reach by walking in a run there, but you kind of look at how much he has pitched recently. You have to expect a little bit of a regression from a guy who has not seen that type of workload yet in the major leagues in his major league career. Yeah, tough one. It's we've been talking a lot, show, about the games that could have been, and you know, when September hits, what are the games that you're going to look back on and wonder if the Blue Jays had found a little bit of something extra to win those games, what the standings would look like, where they would be. This may very well be one of those.
You are listening, of course, to Jays Talk Show. Ali, Julia Kreutz with you. We're live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. You can give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text us as well, 590-590, name and location. The People's Text Line always open. As you guys know, standard messaging and data rates may apply. And as a lot of the texts are showing already, and I'm certain the calls are going to reflect this as well, yep. Jules, it's pretty much all about the offense today. And yesterday, I think there was some quibbling, you know, about John Schneider and the usage of Jimmy Garcia and when you should have pulled him or whatever. And all right, like, we can continue to litigate that, I suppose. But I think it's hard to not pin the blame on the offense when they score three runs for the vast majority of the game and scratch out a run, essentially thanks to an error at the very end of the game. And look, I wanted to get to this moment with you because there are a lot of texts about this, and we were going to talk about this anyways, but the bunt from Ernie Clement, right, with runners on, two runners on, I should say, and the bunt itself from Clement executed perfectly, pretty much, right? But I think it's more about the decision to bunt, which is people, I think, want to talk about. So I understand why one would bunt down just one run to try and bring home a tying run with a sac fly. I get that. That's like the pretty simple way to look at it. I just also think it's a harder decision because the bats behind Ernie Clement aren't exactly your heaviest hitters. So you're essentially gambling that Miles Straw and Nathan Lucas, and Lucas in particular, has been like relatively good recently. He had a pretty big moment just a couple games ago. But you're gambling that Straw and Lucas can lift the ball in the air. And that is exactly what they did not do late in this game with runners on second and third with one out following the bunt. And I see a lot of texts here about this, right? So, let's see. Russ from Toronto. Isn't this an analytics-focused franchise? I thought we'd all agreed sack bunts are just wasted outs. So what am I missing there? Nick from Stratford talking about Lucas. Pressure got to him in the eighth. You could see him hit or bust. Bob from Mississauga. Don't bunt and give up an out with Straw and Lucas coming up. Springer was already in scoring position. JJ in Toronto. Bunting Clement and giving up a free out with Straw on deck is completely irrational. So a lot of people with their thoughts on how the Blue Jays went about the bunt situation in this one. And again, I don't think it's really anything on Clement specifically because he was clearly told to bunt. But that was a tough spot for me, definitely, because it felt like that was a spot you could have gotten there. But they again, it just seems like I used this phrase yesterday, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, and it felt like we kind of saw that again today.
Oh, that's good. I have to agree. I mean, that's exactly it, right? When you have those guys behind you, and no disrespect, obviously Nathan Lucas again with a big game today. They you know, he keeps producing, But Ernie Clement is supposed to be one of your contact guys. He is supposed to be a guy that you trust to put the bat on the ball. And I know that that hasn't come with any type of consistency this year, show, but this is still Ernie Clement. And so in that moment, in that situation, down by one run, I wonder even what that does to a player's mentality, right? Because it is, in my mind, and obviously there's a million things between what I'm saying and what's actually going down in the dugout and in the conversations that they're having, but it does show a little bit of a lack of trust, right? When you're in that situation and you ask someone like Ernie Clement to bunt. And when you consider how important he was for the Blue Jays last year, he was one of the catalysts of that offense, which, you know, neither here nor there. Make your own judgment there, but he was an important piece for the Blue Jays last year. Hasn't been exactly that consistent this year, but, you know, the trust still needs to exist if these are your guys. I just, that's not what we saw there, and I 100% agree. I don't really understand what the decision is. We'll see if John Schneider speaks about it in his media availability now post-game, but, yeah, down one run in that moment with those guys coming up behind him. Yeah. Trust him. Trust that he can swing the bat and figure it out for himself in that moment.
There was also the just really like bizarre double play that happened in the very first inning with Bo and Vladdy, seemingly with strange decision making on the base paths. That you have,
yeah,
they're the two runners, but you have the runners on first and third with nobody out, essentially right away against Tanner Bibee, who was a little wild today, by the way. Just generally speaking, if there was a day to take advantage of Tanner Bibee not being super sharp, it was probably today, and it felt like they were on the cusp so many times, including right away in this ballgame,
right,
and they didn't end up taking advantage of him. But again, that was just a strange double play in the first inning. No, I mean, runners on the corners again with nobody out. Santander hits a ground ball to first. Vladdy stops running to second, and then Bo like kind of hesitates,
yeah,
as he's going home from third. And I just can't help but think that, like, there are two ways you could look at this, right? That had Vladdy just kept, like, never stopped running to second, because Manzardo, I think, was the first baseman today, it looked like he couldn't quite decide what to do with the ball initially,
right,
with everyone in motion. Now, he made the right play, just stepped on the bag at first base to get one out at the very least, but had Vladdy kept running to second, or had he not stopped at the very least, because he started and then stopped, I can't help but think, instead of this really strange double play, you might have had runners on second and third with one out,
yeah,
instead of a single runner on second with two outs. Or at the very least, had Bo decided to just go on contact from third, they probably could have maybe scored a run and still have the only one out be at first base. But it's just the hesitation on that play,
yeah,
was what killed them on both sides with both Bo and Vladdy. And it's just another avoidable mistake,
right,
which is why I think, and of course it comes in the first inning, so you have that hanging over you. But gosh, that's just something that is eminently easy to not do.
Right.
And they got it done in the very first inning, which is, I understand a lot of fans being annoyed about that.
It's tough to even pinpoint who is to blame. I think that you can look at both Vladdy and Bo, because it looked like at first Bo was not going to go, and this was just going to be a regular double play in which, you know, you get two outs and you have a runner on third. And at that point, with the way that things transpired, the Blue Jays would be pretty happy with that, right? But obviously you don't know what you don't know. But I agree with you that there was some hesitation on Vladdy's part. And then he very clearly looks back at what Bo is doing. And Bo is also sort of hesitant there. He goes, he doesn't go, and then he goes. Vladdy, by hesitating and looking back, just allows the defense to also take a gander and just basically pick and choose what they want to do. Just a really, really weird and ill-advised base running play that, you're right, comes back to bite you, and you have that hanging over you. We've spoken so many times about having these opportunities to cash in against good pitchers. Tanner Bibee has not been nearly as dominant this year as he was last year, but this is still Tanner Bibee. He is still coming off of two quality starts. The series is on the line here. You need to be smarter and you need to be more attentive than that. And this is the Blue Jays game, right? When you consider that this hasn't been a super powerful offense, all of those little details matter so much more to teams that are playing like the Blue Jays and that are relying a little bit more on small ball to score their runs. Those mistakes cannot happen, especially when you're talking about the top names in your lineup, yeah, the faces of this team, Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Weird play, and, you know, maybe if that goes a little bit differently, the game goes a little bit differently, but that was a play that gave Bybee a lot of confidence, too, and he came back and he pitched extremely well against George Springer to strike him out and end the inning. So, yeah, one of those game-defining moments, game-turning moments right away that really put the Blue Jays in an unfortunate position early on.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Those are the numbers to call. 590-590, name and location is the people's text line. We'll go back to the text line in a sec. But, Jules, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jen in Toronto. Jen joining us here on Jays Talk. Jen, what's up?
Oh, hi. I want to say hello to Verna, the 90-year-old woman,
yes,
that was given the spot on Sportsnet. That was lovely. And when she threw her walker away, loved it.
That was funny.
maybe she can hit a fly ball instead of Santander. Can she get it up in the air? She looked like she can. So, I mean, let's not forget Guerrero and Santander, they got to get it up in the air. I blame this game. We gave up one run after Bowden Francis. So I'm not impressed with this. It must be depressing for the fans at some point.
Hey, Jen, appreciate the call. I always appreciate hearing from you here on Jays Talk. Yeah, I mean, as we're talking about the offense being the primary culprits today, I mean, I saw this note come across the email from the assignment desk, because they send out updates from other games and so on from the Sportsnet highlight crew. And I saw this note saying that the Kansas City Royals came into their game against the Baltimore Orioles today with 18 home runs on the season. They hit 7 home runs today, which is apparently a Royals franchise record, so good for them. But they had 7 home runs in a single game today to get to 25. That is 2 more than the Toronto Blue Jays, who have 23, which is good for dead last
there it goes
in Major League Baseball.
They've been counting on the, yeah, Kansas City Royals to kind of stay where they were. But
7 home runs in a single game. And I think the Orioles hit a bunch of home runs today, too. Like, I think the two games, those two teams combined for like half as many home runs as the Blue Jays have hit all season, essentially, in one game. So, yeah, like, power is an issue, but just, as Jen was saying, just lifting the ball. I mean, there were a lot of ground balls today. There's always some bad luck, but I don't know. We're past the point of bad luck being, I think, the primary factor for what's going on right now.
Right on. It's, you know, you are going to run into a little bit of bad luck, which is why what we've been clamoring for is just allowing yourself more opportunities throughout a game to actually cash in on those runs and balance out the bad luck a little bit. The bad luck becomes so exposed and magnified when those are the only chances you get in a game to do any damage, and then the ball finds a glove, even if it's hard hit, right? And we certainly saw a little bit of that today. I thought that Alejandro Kirk continued to swing the bat relatively well. Same goes for George Springer. There were moments in which the Blue Jays, you know, their luck could have been a little bit different. Their fate could have turned a little bit more. They could have eked out a series win. But this is why you need to consistently put yourself in the position to do damage and to cash in those runs. And that is just not at all what we've seen from the Blue Jays in the season. We've seen flashes, for sure. We saw it against the Red Sox and again in the first game of this series against the Guardians, but the consistency is still not there, Sho. And when you consider the way that last year went, I don't want to look too much into last year and you know, start looking for signs that this is where we're going, but it is also a little bit inevitable to look at how things went and look at what is happening right now, and the fact that, you know, a guy like Brandon Little couldn't hold the game where it was because maybe the Blue Jays are asking a little bit too much of him right now with how much he has pitched and how many stressful pitches he has had to throw. It's tough, but if the offense does not turn around, these are the conversations again that we're going to continue to have.
Yeah, it feels like the bullpen, and again, like, when you throw pitches that lose games, you're going to wear it at least a little bit. But truly, like just like with Jimmy Garcia last year, yesterday, and Brendan Little today, I'm not sure like the blame is entirely on them specifically. I think it's the offense being what it is has forced these guys to like redline it every single time out, right? Like the dials. Have you seen those movies where the engine's about to blow, and then like the dials are spinning off the chart, the dials are cracking. That's the point we're at right now with the bullpen. And then on top of it, they're dealing with injuries, right? I mean, we don't know what the latest will be in terms of actually contributing at the major league level in a positive way for Burr or Swanson or Sandlin. You could use any one of those guys right now, and it'd probably make your lives a lot easier.
For sure.
But that's where we are. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones, Jules. Let's go to New Jersey. Let's talk to Russ in New Jersey. Russ, what's up?
How are you? You know, I think after, like you guys said, I can't blame Little. He's been in the game, you know, you walk eight batters in a game, you're not going to win many ball games. We just walked eight batters today. But, you know, the kid is, I think he's on pace. I think I saw 85 appearances. It's like ridiculous already. And, you know, both the bullpen's been very, very, you know, used a lot. I want to go back a couple of things. First of all, the only good thing about this whole thing is the Yankees suffered a bunch of injuries. It doesn't look like anybody's running away with it in the American League. We all thought Baltimore is right now a disaster. The Yankees have suffered, you know, Chisholm, and then you have Volpe. I don't know what's with him, but he didn't play today. I don't think Tampa's very good. And I'm not a big Red Sox guy. I know a lot of people think this can be this great team. I'm not convinced. But I want to go to the Ernie Clement play because I had no problem with it. Remember, they bring the infield in there. So it's not only getting a fly ball, but if you hit a ground ball not right at somebody, it could be up the middle, it could be two runs. So, you know, he obviously Monstro didn't get the job done, and he popped up the first pitch. But it's been the same thing with this team. They get chances, and they work the count. They were in a bunch of three-ball counts. If you look today, how many of the strikes, you know, those guys threw, they were – throwing a lot of balls on Cleveland, and the Blue Jays were getting into hitters' counts, but they just couldn't, you know, the frustrating part is they couldn't make them pay. I will say, go out on the West Coast, win, you know, sweep the Angels. I know it's tough to sweep anybody, especially on the road. Even if you lose two out of three in Seattle, you're 20-20, you're at the quarter mark, you know, 500. And like I said, the American League East is not like it's been in the past. It doesn't look like anybody's going to run away with it. Maybe you have some kind of chance, you know, this season, you know, even if you're off to the slow start that the Blue Jays are. So that's my comments for today.
Hey, Russ, appreciate hearing from you, man. Thanks for the call and joining us here on Jays Talk. Yeah, I think when it comes to the division, certainly, I'm certainly with Russ. I mean, I think every team, and we'll do the out-of-town scoreboard, or the out-of-town scoreboard, the Bet365 standings update. I did so many of the scoreboards today. We'll do the Bet365 standings update in a bit, but I'm pretty sure every team in the AL East not named the Tampa Bay Rays lost, and a big part of why the Rays won is because they played the Yankees
today.
So this was unfortunately, to Russ's point about the division, a chance kind of missed.
Another one.
Another chance missed, yeah, because they had one yesterday too. In which the Yankees also lost, right, to make up some ground. But still, I'm with Russ in the sense that I'm not sure any team, especially with injuries piling up, and the Jays are already dealing with their own fair share of injuries, but with injuries mounting, I mean, Tristan Casas had surgery today, and he's done for the year, ruptured left patella tendon, which is really rough. I mean, that's 2 years in a row.
Yeah,
he's dealt with really horrific injuries. He had a cartilage tear that kept him out for a bunch of the season last year. So that's really tough news. I mean, the Yankees dealing with injuries to their starting rotation. And then, like you said, I think I had seen that Volpe was supposed to come back at some point pretty soon, but still apart from Volpe, Chisholm got injured. So the division is there for the Blue Jays taking. It's just they have to take advantage of either mistakes made by the other team or when they have their own runners in scoring position. They just haven't done that particularly consistently for most of this season.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, you know, optimistic. If you want to be optimistic about it, you can find something each day or each night to be optimistic about, but you are not really seeing many moments in which everything clicks. And those moments are going to be rare. regardless, right, Joe? It is a long season. Guys go through good stretches, bad stretches. We know that there are some streaky things involved on both sides of the ball, but good teams find a way to keep holding on to those leads and to give everyone around them maybe a little bit of reprieve as well. And, you know, there's a reason why Brendan Little has pitched as much as he has. There's a reason why Jimmy Garcia, Jeff Hoffman, all of those guys have pitched as much as they have, and that is because the Blue Jays are playing in a lot of very, very close games. Now, if you get a couple of laughers and you just, you know, you don't even need to hit seven home runs, Joe. I'm not even asking for seven. I'm asking for maybe two in a game or three.
I take one at this point.
Yeah, sure. Then you put yourself in a little bit of a better position to allow maybe the manager to make easier choices about the bullpen and rest these guys a little bit more. You know, I know that we get texts sometimes, Joe, even talking about, well, these are professionals. What do you mean the bullpen is taxed? What do you mean? Well, it's taxing work. It is a lot of hard work to go out on the mound every day or, you know, once every 2 days or whatever it is and throw 97, 98 miles per hour. Of course, this is going to come at a cost. And this is a long season. So you have to be smart about this and you have to put yourself in a position that you don't need those guys every day.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones, Jules. Let's go to Eddie in Fort Erie. Eddie, what's up? Welcome to JSTOC.
Thank you, Show and Julia. Hope you guys are having a good day today.
It could be better, you know?
Yeah, you know. We're here.
Yeah. I know, but it's always good to talk to you guys, regardless of the Blue Jays win or lose. Now, I have a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, I was so torn watching Kate Smith pitch against the Blue Jays because I'm looking ahead to next year in the World Baseball Classic, and my goodness, I hope he pitches for Canada. I mean, can you imagine him pitching to Francisco Lindor in the tournament? I mean, that would be something else. I mean, he would be a great back end of the bullpen, and I know we're going to see a lot of other guys who playing on other teams, but I really hope that happens for Canada next year. Now, I was thinking about Bowden Francis' start today because I noticed that the Blue Jays signed two pitchers prior to yesterday in Spencer Turnbull and Jose Ureña, and I thought to myself, what if Francis has another bad outing? Do you think he'll go to the bullpen in favor of one of those guys? Because ever since spring training, I know the results don't matter, but the way that Francis pitched in spring training, giving up all the home runs in the spring, it's kind of, you know, carried over a little bit. And you talked about how taxed the bullpen is. I mean, I don't know. Like, what do you guys think?
Hey, Eddie, appreciate the call, man. Always appreciate you joining us on Jays Talk. Well, first of all, on Kate Smith, he's nasty.
Yeah,
he really is nasty. I am looking forward to, like Eddie, I do enjoy watching the World Baseball Classic. So I am looking forward to watching him pitch for Canada. He's also like a hulking human being. He is 6'5", and is 230 pounds. Actually, watching him come out of the Cleveland Guardians bullpen, followed by Hunter Gaddis, who is 6'6", 250 pounds, two guys back-to-back. I mean, that's got to be, like, two of the biggest relievers in all of baseball.
There's a reason why that back end is so feared,
good
right?
Good heavens. Like, that is ridiculous. But I am looking forward to watching Kate Smith for Team Canada. As for Bowden Francis, like, the only thing for me is, yeah, like, he's had a bit, and this is a text here from Nick in North Bay, which I agree with as well. I think the honeymoon for Francis is over. He's not the same as last year. We may need to look into starting pitching, which I think is valid because he has had, like, I think prior to the Red Sox game where he gave up the 7 earned runs, he had been, like, all right,
yeah.
I would say. Maybe not abjectly bad, but he definitely had not shown the same level. I mean, you know, there were some moments where it looked like he was stringing things together, but ultimately couldn't quite get there. Pretty much all year, last time he got ambushed by the Red Sox. And today, again, he actually, I thought, looked pretty good, essentially, until he didn't, right? I mean, to start the game, the split finger looked like it was really working the first time through the order. The batters, the Guardians batters, looked like they were having a tough time seeing the fastball initially. Because in some cases, he was throwing the fastball like right down the middle.
Yeah,
and batters,
he got away with some there, for sure.
And they just weren't pulling the trigger on it, right? Yeah. And I was curious to see what the approach would be the second time through the order, and they definitely had a better approach the second time through. He loses the zone somewhat in the top of the fourth inning, and then he gets bit to the tune of four runs. I remember we had this conversation on the pregame show that, what, like five innings and three earned runs is something we would take for Bowden Francis at this point. And you didn't even really get that, right? No. Even though that's in line with what you would take from your fifth starter. Unfortunately, you, like, quote-unquote, only get four and a third alongside four earned runs and just two Ks. So I think the problem is with what Eddie is suggesting in terms of helping out the bullpen is that I'm not really sure there is another Sterling option, because Spencer Turnbull is already being brought in essentially to, and he I don't even think he's going to be ready for another couple of weeks at least, right? I don't think the deal has actually been made official yet. But even once it is made official, I got to think if you want to get five innings out of Spencer Turnbull, who hasn't pitched at all this year, it's going to take a couple of weeks. So, but you're already signing Turnbull to replace an injured Max Scherzer, right? Like, you're signing Turnbull to shore up the spot of Scherzer instead of having to go to, like, the, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but, like, to go to the people like Easton Lucas or Eric Lauer, or even, I think they seem to be really resisting the idea of going to, like, Yariel Rodriguez back as a fifth starter, right? So I'm not sure you really want to create another hole for yourself by moving Francis to the bullpen, because it unfortunately means you're just going to have to backfill in another way. I guess you could start a spot start Jose Urena, but I mean that just seems like six of one, half a dozen of the other when you're comparing to Lauer and Lucas and so on.
We all knew that the pitching depth was going to be a problem this year, Joe. This is not news. It's something that we have talked about. It was exciting when the Blue Jays signed Max Scherzer, and if everything had gone exactly according to plan, maybe the conversations would be very, very different at this point. But things seldom go exactly according to plan, especially when you're talking about a pitcher who is over 40 years old. So we knew this was going to be a problem. We knew that in some way, shape, or form, we would be talking about the Blue Jays pitching and the depth at that. I remember one of Ben Nicholson-Smith's bold predictions before the season even started was that the area that would actually disappoint in this Blue Jays team would be they're pitching.
And he did say something like that.
He did say something like that, which is, he's sounding very, very smart. He also predicted a big contract extension, which indeed came to be.
He did do that.
Wow, BNS, really.
But you don't want to be right about the first one. You make those kinds of bold predictions hoping that you're wrong, essentially.
Seriously. But, this is something that we have been talking about. It is nothing new, and it doesn't allow Bowden Francis even the chance to figure out what it is that is going wrong right now and what kinds of adjustments he can make in order to mitigate that a little bit. He doesn't need to carry a no-hit bit far into the outing every time, but he does need to be a little bit more effective than what we saw from him today and certainly from the past couple of outings. It seems like there might be a little bit of an element of confidence as well that he needs to go back to, because that is where he is at his best, is when he is pitching like a veteran, when he is dotting it, when he is, you know, living on the edges a little bit. And even if he does give up contact, because that is also part of his game, that it's contact that the defense can do something with, right? I don't think that this is it for Bowden Francis by any means. I think that he is a good pitcher and he is a smart pitcher at that, so he can figure it out. It's just that we are living in a stage of this team right now where any mistake just becomes extremely amplified. Because, listen, if the Blue Jays had gotten a couple more runs across here, maybe we wouldn't even be talking about Bowden Francis. Maybe we wouldn't get a call about how his start went. But that's just not the case. And so, everything becomes extremely magnified when this is how things are going on the other side of the ball.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones, Jules. Let's go to Clifton in Etobicoke. Clifton, welcome to Jays Talk. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I want to talk about two hitters here. Stephen Kwan and Nathan Lucas. Now, you guys were talking earlier about, we need guys to lift the baseball. And, I hear Barker and Blair and all the guys on the station continuously talking about how we need another big bat in the middle of this lineup. But when was the last time we see this Blue Jays team with a hitter who, when he comes up to the plate with runners at second and third, you know it's money? We haven't seen that in a long time, brother. Now, Stephen Kwan. Here's a guy, so I, whatever I'm doing, whenever this guy comes to the plate, I'm right in front of the TV. I want to see this guy here. This guy, not only is this guy, you know he's going to drive the run in from second or third, but he's going to wear out your pitchers. He's helping the team by wearing out the pitchers. Like, you know, so you talk football on the station too in the football season. And we talk about how the running backs have been discounted over the years. And, you know, because everybody wants to see the big plays down the field with these big receivers. But we know how important these running backs are in, you know, like wearing out the defense, man. Killing the clock, giving your team, you know, like to a chance to save energy, your offense. And so I'm telling you, man, this team needs a Stephen Kwan. And the reason why I said Nathan Lucas is this is the kid that I see that could be that guy. He's a lefty. He has, you know, good handle of the bat. And if they would give this guy a chance to, like, you know, like, forget about this in and out of the lineup stuff. We need one of these guys. This management team has been here for, what, 10 years now? And we haven't seen a development of a guy who is in the lineup, you know, like, okay, Bo Bichette, yes. But, you know, it's about time we see, you know, a couple guys start, you know, making the lineup and staying in the lineup. And I think Stephen Lucas could be the guy.
Sure. Hey, Clifton, appreciate the call, man. Always appreciate hearing from you here on Jay's Talk. Yeah, I mean, look, Stephen Kwan is a lot of fun to watch. That is absolutely true. He, to Clifton's point, he wears out the opposing batter, the opposing pitcher. He always gives you a quality AB. There's a reason you want someone, and while he's not necessarily hitting for power, like, there's a reason you want someone like that at the top of your order basically every single time up, because he almost always, at least for baseball standards, where, you know, is failing, like, failing 7 out of 10 times, right on, essentially, is very, very successful, right?
So, it's such a cool at bat every time, right?
So 1,000% agree with Clifton on that end. You know, I'm a big Nathan Lucas fan. I've always been a big booster of Nathan Lucas's. And it's funny because, like, I guess he is new-ish to Major League Baseball in the sense that he has played the vast majority of his career in the minors. But it is funny to refer to him as, like, a new guy or a kid or anything, because he's, like, 30, I think,
that's right?
But Nathan Lucas, I mean, look, I'm not sure if he'll ever be the Stephen Kwan that you're looking for, but I do think, especially, and I see some text here about some of the other offensive guys who have really struggled, right? Like, this is from Shane in Brockville on the text line, 590-590, name and location. This Barger and Roden experiment has to come to an end. At least David Schneider took his walks. This is getting ridiculous, to be honest. And I mean, look, that's fair, right? I mean, Barger and Roden, it was interesting today, too, because the two of them, I thought, did struggle. But it's funny, in that little mini rally, Barger gets aboard with a fielder's choice chopper out to Ramirez, who just, like, couldn't finish the play. And then Roden gets hit by a pitch, essentially. So those two guys get on, and then Lucas and Jimenez right after them, both with some pretty good pieces of hitting to get the game back within one. But it's true. I'm not saying I never want to see them again, but I wonder at this point what the plan is for them going forward, because the two of them have shown a little bit less than someone like Nathan Lucas, for example.
Yeah, and there's a reason why we are seeing Nathan Lucas a little bit more in this lineup right now. It's not all about matchups or things like that, but it's also because he has been the most consistent of that bunch. Now, is he Stephen Kwan? I don't think so.
But few people are, though.
We are talking about an elite contact hitter, someone who really, really has such a good feel for the strike zone, and he is going to make contact way more often than not. Very few holes in that swing. You know, it's just a different caliber of player entirely, but Nathan Lucas cannot be discounted. And what he is doing right now, the way that he is playing is, and you see it in the at-bats, it's just, it's professional, it's mature, they are the at-bats of a guy who has been around for quite a bit and who is finally getting the opportunity to show what he can do. So, yeah, I would love to see Nathan Lucas continue to get a little bit more of these opportunities. so that we can see, you know, just how consistent this can get and how much he can actually help toward the bottom of that lineup.
There's no name on this text, but Clifton, if you're still listening, someone texted in to say, never in all my years of sports has a caller made more sense than that last guy who called in. So there you go, Clifton. Someone out there, anonymous texter, leave your name and location, agrees with you. Connor in Toronto on the text line saying, J.D. Martinez is still a free agent. Would he solve some offensive problems? You know, I was thinking about this the other day because, of course, you know, J.D. Martinez has made a career for being a pretty lethal hitter.
Yeah.
But then I went and looked up what his stats were last year. And again, he did start the year, if I remember correctly, awful. Like the whole, the Mets, as generally, I think last year, started that year very poorly. And then they kind of just all to a person started hitting in like the second half of the season, essentially. So I think you take these numbers with a bit of a grain of salt. But still, at age 36, and he's a year older now, but at age 36 in 2024, J.D. Martinez's Mets season, his lone season with the Mets, had a batting average of .235. He had an OBP of .320, a slugging percentage of .406. He had an OPS of .725, which outside of the shortened COVID season is actually the worst OPS of his entire career. He had 16 home runs. And he had 69 RBI. I'm not sure. And again, I say this as someone who also considered the J.D. Martinez thing not that long ago, but I'm not sure if it would be a huge upgrade, considering what he is probably asking for money-wise. There's probably a reason he's not playing on a team right now, and I got to think it is performance from last year in addition to him, again, being a longtime Major League vet, probably rightly asking for a lot of money, but I'm sure teams are just not willing to pay that amount of money.
That's precisely what I was going to say. There's a reason why he hasn't signed with anyone yet, and that's probably because the cost does not match what he would provide offensively for a team.
Yeah. Before we take a break, let's get to this last one. Eric from London, I am not blaming Miles Straw, but he had two pivotal ABs today and unfortunately had one-pitch flare-outs in both situations. So I think Eric's saying something's really got to change there. And the tough thing is, too, at that point, I mean, you would have liked to pinch hit Miles Straw for like Dalton Varsho or something, but Dalton Varsho was scratched from today's game with lower back tightness, right? Like at that point, I think everyone had come into the game, right? Ernie Clement had come into the game. Miles Straw himself was a pinch hitter. And yeah, I mean, like Tyler Heineman was the only other guy, and he'd come in for Kirk. So Varsho was really only the other guy. But again, to Eric's point, I think that does land a little bit on roster construction. Also, Eric says, shout out to Behind the Scenes with Nick Blackmore and Tom Young for being there every game. So, Tom, there you go. A shout out directly for you.
That's really
and
special.
Nick
and they're
well.
Right, too. Yeah.
Christian
Thank
didn't
you
get
guys.
He didn't get a shout out, but he just started with us not that long ago. So, Christian, we'll get there.
We love you.
We'll get there. You had a shout out as well.
I do. I want to say hello to my buddy Levi, since it's Junior J's. Levi was here today.
All right.
Just, you know, the
is
best.
Is he running the bases right now?
No, he's in the car listening to us.
All right.
But, you know, This game was neither here nor there, so definitely a bright spot for me to be able to see my buddy Levi wearing his little Blue Jays hat and carrying his Kevin Gausman bobblehead around. It was great. Next generation of fans. I hope you're learning something from this broadcast, Levi, and if not, get to bed soon, I guess.
Soon? It's 5:30.
He's 2.
Okay. Well, you didn't disclose his age, okay? I thought Levi was like 14 or something. All right, that makes sense. Levi, don't let today's result deter you from coming back to the ballpark. Please, I implore you. All right, let's take a quick break, Jules. And on the other side, we'll go back to the text line, 590-590, name and location. And then we'll also continue to take your calls, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590. On your cell. You're listening to Jay's Talk. That's Julia. I'm Show. We're back in a flash on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You know, I've looked at it a couple times. It's a really tough play. It's a weird read to where Vladdy is the runner at first as a first baseman. You're not sure if he's going to step on it and throw. You want to be sure there. And I think, you know, they're probably going to get two outs on that play somehow. And I think, you know, talk to Vlad, talk to Bo about it. It's a really weird read. It's a weird play. I think the best possible outcome there is Bo stays at third, you know. But, you know, trying to score early, you know, those things kind of happen. But it was a weird read for basically everyone involved, and a good play by them.
That is George Springer speaking about the very bizarre double play that went off.
That was John Schneider, buddy.
What did I say?
George Springer.
No, George Springer. Okay, that is
It's okay. It's
okay.
I'm
gonna lie there, all right?
It's okay.
That is John Schneider speaking to the media. It was a bizarre play, though. I mean, he's not wrong in that it was a tough read. Having said that, it does smack a little bit more of, you know, self-inflicted errors.
Yeah.
Now, again, the ball was hit, like, right at Manzardo. Like, literally right to him. And I think he maybe moved 1 foot to put his, like, back foot on the first base bag. So maybe John Schneider is right that they were going to get two outs somewhere anyways. But still, another base-running gaffe costing the Blue Jays some early runs in what was ultimately a 5-4 loss and a series loss to the visiting Cleveland Guardians. You're listening to Jays Talk. I'm Sho. That's Julia. We're here for another 15, 20 minutes or so. Still some time to give us a call. 590-590, name and location is the text line. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We are going to go back to the phones and the text line in a sec, but first, the Bet365 standings update. At Bet365, you can bet on popular markets like hits, home runs, and total bases. You can download the app and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. So we kind of talked about this to a certain extent earlier, but we didn't really give the record. So this is where records sit with all the games in the American League East finished. So here's what the scores are. The Yankees actually did make it closer. I hadn't realized this. Last I checked, the Rays were up 7-2. They still lost that game, the Yankees, but it was a 7-5 final score in favor of Tampa. Of course, we have our game, the Blue Jays losing to the Guardians 5-4. The Red Sox narrowly getting edged 5-4 as well by the Twins at Fenway. And then we mentioned this earlier, the Kansas City Royals hitting 7 home runs, a franchise record for them, and they beat the Baltimore Orioles 11-6. So with all that being said, this is how the American League East stands heading into a day off for the Blue Jays tomorrow. The Yankees are 19-15. The Boston Red Sox are 18-18. So they are exactly .500. They are 2 games back of the Yankees. The Rays and the Blue Jays are tied. They are both 16-18. So they are both 3 games back of the Yankees, 1 game back of the Red Sox. And the Baltimore Orioles, with another loss, they are 13-20. They have lost 2 in a row. They are 4-6 in their last 10, and they sit at the bottom of the very tight American League East.
I can't believe that this is how the Baltimore Orioles season is shaping up at this point. And, you know, I don't want to say that it puts things in perspective, because the Blue Jays need to be better than what we're seeing, period. But it's also, I guess, you know, a little relieving in some way, shape, or form to look to your left or to your right and see that things are not great for anyone else really involved in this division right now. Obviously, the Yankees still have a pretty somewhat comfortable lead for the division here. The Red Sox seem to be figuring some things out, but this is still a team that has some holes, and we know that, and they're showing in different forms here. They showed against the Blue Jays for sure. It is up for grabs, Sho. It is up for grabs. And if the Blue Jays can just harness a little bit more of offensive consistency, then this can get way, way more interesting than it is right now.
Let's go back to the text line, 590-590, name and location. To what you're saying, George and Toronto, I think you are both too generous towards the team. You say Francis is what you expect from a fifth starter, but he's really a fourth starter. You say that the lineup came up short. The last 4 hitters in our lineup every day are not major league hitters. This team is poorly constructed, and I don't see how you can consider them a division contender. On the last point, at least, and I think that's what I was getting at with the standings talk earlier. But I think like division contender to a certain extent, Jules, means different things to different people, right? I think when you say you're a division contender, it means you're one of the best teams in baseball. You're one of the 3 best teams in your league, one of the 6 best teams in all of baseball, because division-wise, and you're hitting for power, and you're doing everything right, essentially, right? But I think the truth in the world we live in now is a little more gray than that, right? In the sense that to be a division contender just means within the context of your own division, and within the American League East right now, I mean, with everything that has gone as wrong as it has for the Blue Jays, they're still, quote-unquote, still only 2 games under .500. And I think that's – and I'm not saying it to excuse what has gone wrong with the Blue Jays. Like, the power is obviously still a massive issue. It does feel like essentially everyone who goes from 5 through 9 in the batting order, maybe 6 through 9 depending on who's in there, if Farsho's healthy. But, you know, pretty much half of the lineup feels like they are – I don't want to say automatic outs, but like really have to grind to get on base. So it's not, I don't want to look like overlook any of that stuff
for
by
sure.
any means. But I just think when everyone is dealing with problems, then it does make it somewhat easier, right? I mean, I was listening to some of the talk on WFAN the other day, and people were like crushing Aaron Judge for being up at the end of the day and not driving in like the game winning or game tying run. It's like Aaron Judge is the best hitter in all of baseball. He might be the best player, period, this season. And even he gets crapped on a little bit. And so again, I'm not saying you should overlook things, but I just think when you talk about like what it means to be a division contender in this division,
right on,
it is possible over the course of a long season to make up some ground here.
Listen, if this was the NL West, we would be having a very different conversation.
1,000%.
If this was the AL East last year, we would be having a very different conversation. The fact of the matter is that this division is not that this year. We're seeing it. It's right in front of us. And so I guess that is what we mean by you make a few adjustments, you find a little bit of a spark that you can actually hold on to and string together some wins, then you're back in the conversation. And, you know, that is going to vary from division to division for sure. You look at even the AL Central right now, and the way that the Guardians have been playing, their difficulties with their starting rotation. They were coming off of a week that, you know, all of their starters pitched around 3 innings. Let's put it as an average, 3 innings in their outings. And so that team also has problems. They're hanging in there. They're finding ways to win games. They are, you know, coming up with a ton of those one-run wins in close games. It's just a matter of finding a way to get it done. And then, yes, you are a division contender.
Let's try and squeeze a couple more calls in, a couple more texts in before we say goodbye. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones, Jules. Let's go to Niagara Falls, where Tim joins us here on Jay's Talk. Tim, what's up?
Hey, guys. Long-time listener to Jay's Talk, first-time caller. I think what you guys touched on there is what makes it even more frustrating. Is like we're in this division, and when you look at runners and like with what we're doing with runners in scoring position, I think like Jules keeps talking about just we're just waiting for things to click. Like we go 5-for-21 over the last 2 games. You know, it's frustrating watching our pitchers roll out there and do their thing, and then on the days when they need the offense to pick them up, the offense is really short. Perpetually stuck at putting up 3 runs consistently, it seems like, apart from the games that we do, you know, drive in runs. And everyone's talking about a power bat. I'd more or less, I'd love to see them go out and get some guys that, you know, are good, timely hitting. You know, bring in guys that are notorious for that can drive in runs with 2 outs. You know, there's been so many times, like, I think over the last few games where we've had runners at second and third or runner at third with no outs. Like, you got to get that run across the plate. It's almost inexcusable not to be able to, you know, drive something to the outfield, you know, just to get bat to ball, to get a fly ball, or get something in play to get that run across. And until that happens, I'm with you guys, and I think a lot of Jays fans feel like until that happens, it just doesn't feel like there's a lot of hope.
Hey, Tim, appreciate the call. Appreciate you hanging on for me here. And you know what? I think to Tim's point, Jules, I think that's why it's all so frustrating, because it feels like, because a lot of teams do this, right? I mentioned Judge earlier. It feels like a lot of the players in that caliber do come through in the biggest possible moments. And like, yeah, Bo hit the home run in this series. He gets aboard right away. He ends up getting aboard at the very end of the game as well. Again, off of Emmanuel Classe. And, you know, on the flip side, I think you're still kind of waiting for a little more power, for example, from Vladdy, for example. I mean, Vladdy comes up at the end of the game, and like he does drive in, scratch across the run, but it's like with a sac fly, for example, right? I think when you're looking at players like that, you don't really want sac bunts and sac flies and RBI groundouts and so on. You want them to swing the bat, to Tim's point, with runners on first and third with no one out, or runners on second and third with one out. And I've made this complaint a million times. Like, you could just replay this part of Jay's talk a bunch of times. You just want to see them score multiple runs with one swing of the bat.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like I could probably count on one hand the amount of times it's happened this
year.
Yeah.
The one thing that the Blue Jays were doing very well early on offensively was cashing in on those runs from third base with fewer than two outs, right? That was the one thing that we felt like we could count on for the first little bit, and then that disappeared. So I get the sentiment. You need guys that you can count on to actually get the job done there. I would still argue that power is a bit of a more pressing concern or area that needs to be filled for this team.
More, you think, than a fifth starter or bullpen help?
Ooh.
I mean, I know they just did they're going for the Turnbull Urena move, and I actually just saw a tweet from our pal Shai Davidi. Jose Urena is in the Blue Jays clubhouse and will be traveling with the team to Anaheim, so maybe there's a good chance come Tuesday you will, or like Tuesday through Sunday, you will see him at some point, I would think, but it has not been made official yet. But again, that seems like more of a stopgap measure than anything.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I would love to hear from anyone who wants to text in. What is the biggest area for the Blue Jays?
It's probably power still. I think.
Yeah.
But
sure.
Just by a smidge.
Tough. It really shows you that the depth is not where it should be on either side of the ball. This is the conversation that we're having on May 4th, right?
Before we go, Jules, you have a couple minutes left here. Before we get out of here, Blue Jays are going to embark, so the day off tomorrow, obviously, but they're going to embark on this West Coast swing on Tuesday, 3 in L.A. I believe it lines up so that the Blue Jays will face Yusei Kikuchi in one of these games.
I hope you're
looking forward to that. Angels for 3, Mariners for 3 in Seattle as well, and then they come back home as a day off the following Monday, and then they'll take on the Tampa Bay Rays, and who have been better as of late, certainly the Detroit Tigers, who are currently leading the American League Central. So, what do you think? We did this exercise the last time they went on a road trip. What's the record they need to come home with for you to be satisfied with 6 games coming up, 3 against the Angels, 3 against the Mariners?
This needs to be a winning road trip.
Okay. So at least 3-3.
It needs to be I won't settle for 3-3.
Okay, all right.
It needs to be a winning road trip. The Blue Jays need to find a way to get back on track. The Angels are scuffling. This is such a prime opportunity for them to gain some ground and to actually, you know, put up some runs and really retrieve that identity that we kind of saw a little bit of flashes here and there. We know what they want to be. We know that they believe that they have the potential to be something else offensively. This is the chance. It's going to be tough against the Mariners. It shouldn't be that tough against the Angels with the way that things are going right now. This needs to be a winning road trip.
So 4-2, at least then.
At least 4-2.
So Russ in New Jersey earlier had said they need to sweep the Angels. It's very tough to do on the road, but I mean, you kind of need to get back into the race here. If you want to, talking about the division contenders, you definitely need that. But that's the great Julia Kreutz. I'm Shoali. Jules, this was a lot of fun. I'm glad we were back together today.
I missed you. This is great. I can't wait to do it again.
Are we doing it again next week too?
No.
Okay. You know what? A timely time to take off from a late West Coast swing.
I applaud you, but
that's Julia. I'm Sho, and thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Brampton and Georgetown. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. Protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center, or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. For Julia Kreutz, Ben Shulman, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Christian Chiniti, Nick Blackmore, I'm Shoali. We're out of here. Some housekeeping before we go. Jays are off tomorrow, as we know. The Jays are heading out on this West Coast trip. Blair and Barker also off Jays Talk. You are unfortunately stuck with me solo for the week. I have the post-game show solo all week. Leading into the weekend, B&B will do their regular daytime show as planned, and we'll be back on the postgame show for that Rays series, which begins May 13th. So, enjoy the day off, everyone. Get your coffee ready for some late starts this week. I know I will, and we'll talk to you later.